Let me preface what I say by acknowledging the fact that this church might or might not move location soon. However, what I have to say to you, today, please use any mention of physical aspects of your church as a guidance to your new location if you choose a new location. Before I do this, please let me explain who I am and why I'm thought to have any insight on the subject of church inclusion. My name is Kevin Pettit. I usually worship up the road at the First Congregational Church in Boulder, where the not-for-profit organization that I lead, Faith for All, is headquartered. Faith for All is an interfaith organization that I founded in 2013 that works with faith communities of any nature to help facilitate the wider invitation to and inclusion and empowerment of people living with disabilities into active participation in their chosen faith communities. I founded Faith for All after I studied at the Islet School of Theology for 6 years. This followed my efforts to teach again as a professor of physics. I just said teach again because my promising career as a physicist and physics professor at Carleton College was interrupted when I sustained a very severe traumatic brain injury, also known as a TBI, on October 27th of 1998. Only after abiding in a very deep coma for 11 days, followed by a semi-conscious state for about a month and a half, after learning to eat, to use a toilet, and walk again, after I could speak in complete sentences, I began to work as a professor of physics again. I should say, initially when I started teaching physics again, I wasn't speaking in complete sentences all the time, but that's okay in physics. I attempted this effort while I continued with therapy and recovery from my very considerable disabilities for more than 2 years while I taught at the University of Colorado in Boulder and then back at Carleton. After trying for 2 years to restart my teaching career at Carleton College, the administration of the college found that my teaching skills below their standards, and the dean asked me to leave. This was extremely difficult for me to accept, nearly as difficult as learning that my wife, who was driving the car at the time our accident occurred, decided that our marriage had died as a result of the accident and my injuries. And, despite my disinclination, she obtained a divorce, separating me from my only child. Apart from my family of origin, I lost everything of any meaning to me. In an effort to restart my life, I moved back to Boulder, Colorado, and began studying at the Olive School of Theology, where I met your pastor, Pastor Claire. I decided to pursue ministry in part because I wished to work in a profession where my experiences with disability would be an asset to my efforts, not an impediment, one more hurdle to overcome. So in the last 20 years, I've spent a great deal of time thinking about how I can use my second life to facilitate the efforts of God on earth, and particularly to help people with disabilities find a faithful home. I just related to you a condensation of my story of woe in an effort to justify my forthcoming statements regarding disability, showing that they come from my own lived experiences. I may not outwardly appear disabled now, which highlights how varied disabilities may manifest. But interact with me for just a bit and you will readily see how my TBI impairs me, particularly my memory. After trying to restart my career following my injuries and studying Aleph, I founded and now work with Faith for All to try to help faith communities improve their welcome and their inclusion of people with disabilities and to try to improve the presence of God that these communities represent. How can Vista Grande improve its welcome to people with disabilities? Before I answer this question, I would like to ask you another. Where is the house of God? This is a question that has puzzled people for many millennia. We know this, after all, because we have records of a large variety of answers to this question. Our ancestors in faith found God in a number of places. They supposed that God dwelt in the Garden of Eden, where God walked at the time of the evening breeze, on Mount Sinai, or on other mountains where God was said to have been found. During the period of wandering that preceded their arrival in the Promised Land, the Jewish people thought that God dwelt in the tabernacle, the portable sanctuary constructed by Moses as a place of worship for the Hebrew tribes. Later, after the temple was established in Jerusalem, God was thought to have a residency therein, inside the Holy of Holies. However, finding the residence of our God has always been difficult. In our scripture, the first book of Kings is written, "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house which I've built." One can reasonably argue that the Jewish response to the Babylonian exile prior to the construction of the second temple in Jerusalem spurred the development of the Hebrew Bible and embedded the fundamental importance of Scripture. The Jewish experience of exile produced the important understanding of God residing in the words of Scripture that we Christians have inherited. Further, following the argument in our reading in Ephesians this morning, you can see that as followers of Christ, you are citizens with the saints, also members of the household of God, and in him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place of God. Thus, to the understanding of the author of Ephesians, the dwelling place of God is every believer's heart. This causes me to wonder, what are the characteristics of these various dwelling places of God? The shortest answer to this question would be simply that the dwelling places of our God, that is our hearts, reflect God's nature, loving and kind, forgiving and encouraging, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, powerful yet humble. Indeed, all communities of faith are called to replicate and exercise these characteristics of God. I would like to add to the hallmarks of God's dwelling place this quality: widely invitational. While one can understand both a wide invitation and a hearty welcome as inherently implied by the commonly accepted qualities that I just listed, let me clarify this by stating it directly. God's house is built to welcome all. I rejoice with the people of the Vista Grande Community Church in your achievement of one of the marks of this welcome, your continuing commitment to embrace an open and affirming covenant. This is a clear indicator of your church's commitment to sharing in the nature of our God. I dream of a day when all communities of faith will understand this open and affirming welcome as completely apparent, given their understanding of God's nature. It might take a while, though. Though accessible to all, covenants often require some physical changes to church structures. The most important change, one of attitude, is, like your open and affirming covenant, portable. I speak to you this morning to describe another way that this church community can demonstrate its commitment to following in God's nature. I invite this church to affirm that its welcome and its understanding of God's love extends to all people, including those who presently happen to live with the challenges of disability. While many people assume that it's in the nature of all churches to welcome people who live with disabilities, this assumption would be incorrect. The National Council on Disability has accumulated Harris Poll data revealing that the people with disabilities are less likely than their peers to attend religious service. The vast majority of houses of worship in this country are not accessible to those who use wheelchairs. Something like 80 or 78%, I think, are not available. Or if they're accessible at all, you gotta come in through the back door, and that's just not right. I'm sorry. Also, please remember that though the wheelchair commonly represents disability, the majority of people with disabilities don't ambulate using a wheelchair or any assistive device at all. Disability can mean serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs, serious difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions, seeing, dressing, or bathing, or difficulty doing errands without assistance. Indeed, as many as 20% of the residents of this country are people challenged by impairments significant enough to qualify them as having a disability. In many churches, the sometimes difficult or awkward interactions with typical people who consider themselves normal may make many visitors who live with disability feel less than completely welcome, even if they are physically able to enter the sanctuary. However, the UCC denomination has a significant history of trying to expand the welcome of people with disabilities, or PWD. Begun in 1978 with the help of Harold Wilkie and Virginia Cryer and others, the working group under the name the Advisory Committee on the Church and the Handicapped began pushing for the inclusion of PWD in the life of UCC churches. This committee renamed itself the UCC Disabilities Ministry, the UCCDM, and works to ensure the inclusion of people living with considerable differences. The 1990 passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, began to change the character of our public life in the USA, though the leanings of lawmakers towards church-state separation, and this is interesting, as well as significant lobbying by many church groups, compelled lawmakers to specifically exempt communities of faith from following the requirements of the ADA. That's made of all of the public institutions. As a faith institution, this church is not required to enact any change required by the Americans with Disabilities Act. That saddens me greatly. But I believe that all faithful communities in our country should be sensitive to the spiritual call for inclusion that is rooted in all faith traditions. In 1995, the UCCDM brought before the UCC General Synod an Accessible to All, or A2A, resolution, which was approved and adopted. This resolution calls for the church at all levels to be morally bound by the spirit of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The key words accessible to all, A2A, were added to the bylaws and constitution of the United Church of Christ denomination. But you might ask, what does the inclusion represented by this commitment to become A2A mean for Vista Grande? The designation A2A means, first and foremost, that the adopting congregation believes that one's physical or cognitive ability matter not. God still welcomes you. An A2A congregation studies the meaning and implications of this inclusion, searches for ways to improve the welcome offered to people who live with disabilities, and commits to strive to enact the needed transitions to improve their welcome and accessibility. The adoption of an A2A covenant shows publicly the intention to include people who live with impairments or disabilities in the complete life of the church as members and possibly leaders. This commitment to strive for inclusion is not necessarily difficult or costly, though at times becoming an A2A church might mean installing push-button doors that can be used by any person living with arthritis, using assistive devices, making deliveries, or carrying a child. A2A covenants usually require ensuring that the church's sound system can be used by people who are hard of hearing, and I've already checked it out. This one is good. You got a good system here. But the transformation of greatest consequence involves a change of attitude. The process of adopting an A2A covenant can start with the formation of a local inclusion team, which will focus on this effort. This team will meet, study the guide Everybody, Anybody, Christ's Body, and determine various ways which this church can become more sensitive to and inclusive of people living with disabilities. This group will write an A2A amendment to this church constitution that can be offered up before agreed upon by its membership. But rather than describing further the process of adopting an A2A covenant, as Disability Inclusion Associate of the UCCDM, I would like to commit to working with your minister and any A2A committees that might form with this church to provide you with the resources and guidance in this process. In this way, Vista Grande may add to the meaningful monikers that I saw on the back of the bulletin there that describe this church. They're useful tools for the guidance available for the A2A transformation, available on the webpage ucccdm.org. Or today I've brought some pamphlets and handouts that regarding this moniker and the process of becoming A2A that I'd be given to Pastor Claire. And we've got some little handouts that I put together on. A lot of people are unsure of how to interact with a person with disabilities, or with, especially if they're significant. This is the etiquette guide of what to do. Things not to say and things you can say, you know. And so it wasn't all my thinking. Mostly I gathered together stuff from the Federation of the Blind and all these different groups and put it all together. So the call of the National UCC, one that I've echoed to you this morning, charges your congregation to begin the transformation of this house of God. This transformation compels this church to explicitly state its vision and goal to welcome and include all people, irrespective of their abilities or their disabilities. Both lay and ordained members of the UCCDM and the Rocky Mountain Conference Inclusion Team, two boards on which I serve, hope that this building, this church, and this collection of people embark on a journey with the one in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God, to endorse commitment to embrace the accessible to all covenant, and to take the next step to demonstrate explicitly its widely invitational nature that includes joyfully and naturally all children of God. This, in one way, describes the meaning of the word resurrection. Resurgence or revival, coming to new life. With this message, I invite the members of this church to draw upon the history of our Christian faith, the words of Jesus and his followers, and the inspiration of people with disabilities to reflect the acceptance, welcome, and embrace of our God. We shouldn't try to limit the love of the divine. Rather, let us work to spread it as widely as possible, such that our hearts, our community, this church body and its buildings become as welcoming as loving and as loving as our God. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
We have demonstrated, obviously, our ability to expand, open, and affirming to be inclusive of all. And a lot of times,